today's Old Testament scripture comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. And you can find this on page 25 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Genesis 28, 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. And our New Testament scripture comes from the book of Romans. Chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. And this you can find on page 158 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Romans 8, 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. That song, God Will Make a Way, when when we can't see our way past the next minute or the next day because of the worldly pressures, the circumstances that just weigh so heavy on us, oppressive to the point of maybe almost like a stone that's just been placed on your shoulders and your left with nothing other than a feeling of depression. God makes a way. We can have this faith that Christ has come for the purpose of restoring you and redeeming you from a life of death, a life that leads to death because it's a life of sin. The law. As we continue this writing of Paul, we're in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. And we see as Paul is really telling us that what we need more than anything else is Christ Jesus. And what it is that he gives us is so much more than any one of us could expect. Because in every circumstance, in every situation where life says, how in the world can I get through this? Well, there's the answer in your question. How in the world? Well, not of this world. Because Christ Jesus is not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. In Revelation chapter 20, what is it? A new generation. A new Jerusalem. A new world. A resurrection body. That's what we have to look forward to. But how does that help me today? See, the tension in Paul's letter speaks of the present, but not yet. In that we're adopted into the family, but the adoption's not complete because we're not in the kingdom of God yet. We are children of God through our faith. We know that by faith, we accept that what Christ said and what Christ did was the full and complete propitiation of all of our sin. In other words, he paid the full price. There's nothing that you or I can do. When we look at the law, you know, I've told you, the law is a list of things not to do. And Jesus comes and says, do. Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Those are a to-do. Well, there's another aspect to the law. The law is a way in which we are to behave towards God and a way in which to behave towards our fellow man, humanity, not men and women, humanity. So the law is good because it teaches us how we're to act towards each other. The challenge is the Jew of the day looked at the law and said, this is how I earn my salvation. Excuse me. None of us can get through our lives and fulfill every aspect of the law. It's an impossibility. And why is it? Well, gosh, why did God give it to us? If he's such a great God and he doesn't make trash, he's perfect in all of his creation, how could he have given us the law in which we cannot fulfill? Isn't that cruel? To put something out there that he knows we can't do so he can beat us up over it? No. You and I need goals. You and I, just as a, you know, as any athlete knows, they'll drive themselves to a certain point, and it's usually the coach or family or someone else that pushes them to go just a little bit farther. It's good to have goals. It's good to have a standard to go to, even if it's a standard you can't meet, but at least it's something you can strive for. The law is not there for us to earn salvation because we can't do it. It shows us how we should act after we've been saved, as we are children of God, as we are Christians. That's the to-do list. James tells us faith without works is tinkling brass. Paul tells us that faith is where we become saved. Faith is how we're saved. When you look on the bulletin board out there or the sign out there, and it says faith and hope. Well, how does that match into this verse? Well, if you go to verse 24, for in hope we're saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Well, golly, that's tough to handle. Well, what do you mean by hope? Well, we have a faith. If I gave you a task, I want you to articulate or define what faith means to you and what hope means to you. Oftentimes people will say faith in something or faith in someone, and we have a hope for. It's something future, not present. I hope for good weather. There's not a farmer out there that doesn't hope for a little bit of rain and a little bit of sun, or a lot of rain and a lot of sun, but in the right proportion at the right time, because that's the only way the crops grow. If you're in a sailboat, you want the right amount of wind, not too much wind, a little bit of wind. You want a little bit of sun. You hope for a good day. You go out sailing. What do you hope for? Oh, I hope it's thunder and lightning. Not if you're on a sailboat. Faith and hope. The hope is for things that are not yet seen. We read in Hebrews 11. The writer, some think that Hebrews is written is another one of Paul's letters, but we're not certain about that. But irrespective of that, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that hope, faith is the hope for things not yet seen. Now, faith, and I'm in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith. By faith. And what's hope? Faith is a hope for things not yet seen. Well, if hope is something that we could see, then it's not hope, because I see that. That's tangible. That's real. It doesn't take hope to realize that that's there. How many of you have lost siblings? How many of you have lost a parent or a grandparent? Now, there's something that we as Christians have a hope for. It's also ingrained in our faith. I've had an older brother, Bill, and he was about 3 years older than me. And I always followed him, much to his chagrin and to all of his friends' chagrin. It's like, where's that little Kenny? He's always following after us. Well, I tagged along after Bill so many times in so many different places. We'd go outside of town. We'd go build dams on creeks. We'd go picking strawberries and raspberries and whatever. But I was always following those guys. How was the tag along? Well, my brother and his friends left town and went out berry picking. Well, I knew where they were going to go, so I started after them, and I could keep up with them for a while, and pretty soon they left me in the dust, and off down the hill and up the railroad tracks, up the hill into the woods, up to where the raspberry patch was. Well, my little old legs are just pumping along. It's hot and whatever. But I know that my brother and his friends are going to be there. And I'm safe with that. I know I'll get there eventually. I'm hoping that. And as I get to the bottom of the hill just before I go into the woods, I wasn't really scared. But, there are a lot of bad things that can happen out there. You just don't know. Deer, wolves, lions, bears, tigers, oh my. snakes. And I'm walking up into just entering the tree line, and there's my brother Bill. Wait. What took you so long? I knew you'd get here. I just didn't know when. Here's hope. We lost Bill 10 years ago to cancer. And my hope is someday I'm going to hear those. I'm going to see him and I'm going to hear those same words. What took you so long? I knew you could make it. What took you so long? So that's hope. That's my hope and my anticipation, is that there is a day when we're all going to be together. We're all going to see those that we've lost. That there's going to, that is the ingredient to our faith and our hope. It's not something that you just, it's just faith. Yeah, it's just hope. It's something we can live with and live by. I know that Christ Jesus died for me. I know that my brother, my mother, my father, my uncles, my grandparents, they're all up there. Absent with the body, present with the Lord. And I am not rushing to have it happen any sooner than it has to be. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. Whenever God calls me home, I'm ready to go. I've got hope that I'll be reunited. That's faith. And that's hope. It's a hope that I haven't seen yet. But it's a hope that I have faith absolutely in that it will be. Because God will make a way when there seems to be no other way. He works in ways you cannot see. He will make a way for you and for me. Have faith. Have hope. Shalom.